Joining me in this week's edition in the press box is Missouri Tiger softball coach Aaron Earlywine. Aaron, thanks for talking with me. You've been well-traveled early in your short amount of time as a coach. Just to familiarize our listeners, you played ball at Missouri State yourself. You were an assistant baseball coach at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Then you moved over to softball, where you were an assistant at Georgia Tech for a couple of years before becoming a head coach there for three. And now you're in your second year here at Mizzou. You also got your coaching start here in the Show Me State. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I actually started my baseball coaching career over at Westminster College, where I was the assistant coach for 3 years under former MU football and baseball standout Phil Bradley. And then when he retired from the head coaching position, I became the head coach at Westminster for 3 years. So, and then from there, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and then from there, Georgia Tech, and finally back home. It's been kind of a full circle, but really the goal was to be a head coach at the Division I level, and to be close to home. And I'm from Jefferson City, so, this is home for me. I have a very large family base, right there in Jeff City. My wife is from Lynn, Missouri, so she's got a large family base around the mid-Missouri area as well. So this is where we want to stay as long as possible.
Yeah, that's great. I'm sure not a lot of people knew that you grew up here in the Jeff City area. How much of a role did that play in you taking the Missouri job?
Well, it was paramount. That was the primary decision-making process for me and my wife and my family. We just wanted to get back home. I always said the one opportunity that I would take if it came open would be the University of Missouri and getting the chance to come back home. And so when it came up, we were really excited, and then obviously more excited when I got the job.
You had a lot of success in your first year. The team finished third in the Big 12, actually got pretty close to winning the whole thing. You made the NCAA regional tournament. As you get started here this year, what are your philosophies in building a program?
Well, I think it's real simple. Anytime you play in any kind of a conference, you want to win that conference. I don't care what sport it is or what conference you're in. You want to win your conference, and that's something that is a top priority for us. And then, you know, we figure if you're competitive in the Big 12, if you're a team that has a chance to win the Big 12, you're certainly one of the 10 best teams in the country. Right now, there are two or three Big 12 teams ranked in the top 10, and then a couple in the top 25, including ourselves. So, you know, we figure if we're at the top of the Big 12, we've got a chance to be a World Series participant slash contender, and that's where we'd like to be. And then, you know, I'm greedy. Once I get there, I'm going to want to win it. So,
I was looking at your roster. You have 8 of 20 players listed as freshmen. That seems like quite a few.
Yeah, it's an enormous. It's probably, I don't know, I haven't checked, but you're not going to find a bigger freshman class than the one we have. And, you know, that's not necessarily by design. It was just some great opportunities for some good, talented kids came about for us, and we jumped on them. And thankfully we did so, because right now we're looking at 4 or 5 freshmen in our lineup at any given time this season.
Does that hurt? I mean, making that jump from a girl playing high school to college ball, I mean, can you see that as maybe taking a while for this team to develop?
Yeah, and we factor that in. I think, you know, for the first 3 or 4 weeks here this season, we're going to go through some growing pains of those kids trying to get acclimated to Division I pitching and so forth. But, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes the freshmen are so naive to the seriousness of it or I don't know, the magnitude, I guess is the right word, of the level we're playing at, that sometimes they're so naive to it that they just kind of go out there and play free and reckless, and they don't really understand what's at stake. And so sometimes they end up having a better year than you would expect, just because they play so loose and free. And a couple of them are doing that right now. But I think in general, our team is probably playing a little too tight, and I got to do a better job of keeping them relaxed right now.
How much of that tightness comes from the players that, that were on the team last year? I was looking at your batting averages from last year. 3 of your top 4 hitters are back. Are they maybe trying to press a little too much? Or?
Well, one of those top 3 hitters is out for the season with a torn ACL, Michaela Minner. And right now, Amanda Rentz has a broken nose, so she'll be out for a week or 2 weeks. And Jen Brooke just got back in our lineup this past weekend. She missed the first 5 games for breaking team policy. So, you know, you talk about the top 3 hitters. Well, we've virtually been without those kids at the start of this season. So, we're looking forward to when those kids all get back and get healthy, and we can get some rhythm and consistency in our lineup. But you mentioned pressing, and I think we are pressing a little bit, and that's the way softball and baseball goes. When you start off and nobody's swinging the bat well and you're not scoring runs, it's amazing how quick you push the panic button and start to press. And so, again, I have to do a better job of keeping them relaxed and letting them see the big picture.
It's funny that you mentioned baseball and softball, because you've coached and played both baseball and fast pitch softball. In terms of fundamentals, tell our listeners, what's the biggest difference between the two games?
You know, my initial statement to that is, and I think it's a misconception by a lot of coaches in both sports, is that there really isn't much difference. Fundamentally, hitting a ball is hitting a ball. Fielding a ball is fielding a ball. And so, you know, a lot of the teachings that I adhere to our program are things that I taught in baseball at the collegiate level, at the D1 level. They don't change. They're interchangeable. The only major difference between the two sports, in my opinion, obviously the pitching's different, but in terms of hitting, in softball, there's a pitch that does indeed rise. It goes up.
Yeah.
And in baseball, even a fastball is at a down angle. Everything goes downward in baseball. But there is a rise ball in softball, and so hitting a rise ball is the biggest adjustment for anybody that's played baseball, trying to switch over and play some fast pitch softball, trying to find a way to hit that rise ball is definitely a new task.
What's harder to hit, a baseball or a softball?
I think at the top level, I think hitting men's fast pitch softball is the toughest thing that I've ever done. They did a study in Sports Illustrated several years back when I was playing in the mid-90s. And there was a guy that I played with and against, and there are several guys who throw in the mid-80s in men's fast pitch softball. And so if you do the mathematical breakdown of that, from 46 feet, which is the distance of a pitching rubber for the men's, at 85 miles an hour is the equivalent of 116 mile per hour baseball pitch. From 60 feet 6 inches. So just in terms of reaction time, at the top of the game, there is very much less reaction time, and makes it real tough to hit. And for the women, I think most of the women throw in the mid-60s, and some of them throw 70 from 43 feet, and that's usually 100 to 105, depending on which one of those miles per hour you pick. But it's very challenging. I think softball is probably a little bit tougher, quite honestly.
Yeah, I mean, how do you react to something that quick? I mean,
well, honestly, there was nights where you just absolutely just caught a glimpse of it. You know, you got a night game, and you got a guy out there throwing in the mid-80s, and he not only is he throwing from 46 feet, but he's crow-hopping off the mound and replanting about 7 or 8 feet closer to home plate. So in virtue, you know, he ends up throwing from 38 or 39 feet that hard, and literally sometimes you just catch a glimpse of it.
I would love to experience that once, just to see what that is, because I know there's no way I could get the bat around in time. I don't even know if I could catch a ball that fast.
Well, I tell you, I've woke up in the middle of the night in cold sweats trying to hit it before, so be careful what you wish for.
that's unbelievable. You know, and I was looking at stats, too. Your team hit 283. Opponents hit 284 last year. I would have thought, just when I watch softball on TV and you see the number of strikeouts in the low-scoring games, and I'm talking about those higher tournaments as you get into the NCAAs, but I would have thought those averages would have been a lot lower. I was actually surprised at the amount of offense that there is.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing is it's counterbalanced by you know, once you get to the mid-tier D1 schools, the pitching gets really, there's a big drop-off. The top level, the top 10 or 15 kids in the country, I mean, if you look at the opposing batting averages against those top 15 or top 20 pitchers, I mean, people are hitting 100, 120 off those hitters. I mean, you know, one out of 10 times they'll get a hit. So I think the average is, a lot of it gets padded by the lesser pitchers.
You were supposed to play UMKC at the indoor practice facility this week, and I was really looking forward to coming and watching that, because what are the field dimensions? What are the ground rules for playing indoor, and do you do that quite often?
We do it. We did it 7 times last year out of 65 games, and obviously it's just it's a last resort if the weather's too bad to play outside. But the ground rules, the only big detriment of playing inside that I've found is that our ceiling is low enough to where if you hit a real fly ball, it'll hit the ceiling, and so we have to call that a dead ball. And sometimes those are routine pop-up, you know, fly ball outs. And but then other times they look to be home runs. So I don't know if it evens itself out or not, but that's a big hindrance inside. And then the other major thing is there's no dirt inside, and so the infield is a little bit slower because we play on an artificial grass surface.
Oh, it's actually slower.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh,
well,
wow.
Now last year we had the old AstroTurf that you used to see on the football fields back in the 80s and 90s, the real thin-haired AstroTurf where the ball was just extremely fast. And so it was just the opposite. It was faster. But over the summer, the football program here at Mizzou decided they wanted the artificial grass surface. It's about a 3-inch grass blade, and so it's just like grass. So that plays a little bit slower than the hard dirt.
Well, that's interesting, because I had my my son and my daughter, we went up there for a baseball clinic. I took them up there and was throwing them ground balls and going back and forth, and it just seemed like it spun different. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You've got your top pitcher back, Jen Bruck. Talk about her a little bit.
Yeah, she's capable of beating anybody on any given day. Good velocity. The main thing that Jen has is she's just she's a great competitor. She's got a little bit of the intimidation factor going on out there. She's pretty resilient. She gives up runs. You know, she doesn't show much emotion and that kind of thing. But you can have whatever look you want on your face, but at the end of the day, you do have to have stuff. And she has stuff. She's got a good drop ball, a pretty good changeup, and she's actually developed a little bit of a rise ball this year to offset those other two pitches. So she's tough, and like I said, I've seen her beat some of the best teams in the country on any given day, so we're happy to have her back.
Coach, I just have one more question for you, and I really appreciate your time because I know you guys are heading to a tournament. I have never understood for left-handed batters in softball, and I'm waiting for somebody to explain this to me, the swinging bunt, that running bunt. Tell me the strategy or the thinking behind that, because I would just think that as difficult as it is to hit a softball, you'd want to keep your feet planted and give yourself the best chance at making contact than just trying to maybe hit the other way.
Well, there's some credibility to what you're saying, and that is why slappers is what you're referring to. We call them slappers.
Yeah.
They run and they'll bunt and they'll just tap the ball and so forth. Slappers historically have been high strikeout batters.
Really?
Because they are on the move, and it's tough to hit a ball 65 miles per hour from 43 feet when you're on the move. But the concept is that if you're on the run and you bounce the ball softly on the infield somewhere, it is extremely difficult to throw a fast runner out. And we actually have two in our lineup. And literally, if the ball bounces twice, there's no play at first base. And the infield has to scoot back a little bit because there's always the danger of what if this batter swings away and hits one down my throat.
Right.
And if they scoot back, then they can drop a drag bunt or they can do a softer slap. So there's a lot of weapons and a lot of options available to kids like that. But you did hit the nail on the head. Those kids a lot of times are high strikeout risk.
Yeah, and I noticed, like, when I watched it just seemed like they, you know, the first pitch they would always jump at. And I thought, you know, that could be a good weapon if maybe you look like you were going to swing away and then all of a sudden, you know, you're up in the count and then you drop one down, or, you know, maybe there's different situations. So I just wanted to ask you that. I've always thought that was interesting. So,
yeah.
Hey, listen, I appreciate your time, and I certainly want to keep in touch with you during the season if we certainly can.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
Anything to help my people from Jeff City, I'd be glad to do that.
That'd be great. Aaron Earlywine, head coach for the Missouri Tiger softball team. Good luck, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thanks a bunch.
Yep, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.